Good evening. It's good to see all those who've returned tonight. We are continuing what we started this morning, the sermon called The Pictures of Life. And we found out that James painted a very vivid picture for those merchants who thought that they could go and travel and thought that they were in control of their own time and their own destiny. And he painted a vivid picture of life when he said, when he asked the question, what is life? What is your life? And then answered it with that vivid illustration that life is as a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. And we tried to get an understanding that if a person saw life in that way, he could picture life as a vapor, as a mist that just appears for a little time and then vanishes away, then a person would recognize they have no need and no time for procrastination, and that they would make the most of their opportunities, and that when it comes to having a life with God, then people would be of the utmost diligence in trying to make sure they have that life with God. Obedience unto the gospel. People would not put that off. Why? Because they would have that image, that picture, that life is just a mist. And so we tried to use that to springboard into some pictures of life. We talked about life this morning as a gift. That when you recognize that your life is a gift from God, my friends, then you should not squander that gift. You should not waste that gift. You shouldn't throw away that gift. You should recognize that God has given you life. And as a result of that, God wants to show you exactly how to use it that will be beneficial to you and also in accordance with his will. And so we notice that life is pictured as a gift. But tonight we want to notice another picture of life, and this is picture life as a journey. Your life is a journey. Now, Webster defines journey as the act or instance of traveling from one place to another. And the fact that one can picture life as a journey should impress upon one's mind that he needs to know where he's going. You see, when you get ready to take a journey, the first thing you need to do is know where your destination is. If you don't have a destination, it's going to be very difficult for you to take that journey. And so we find that in a journey, one must prepare for the journey. You need a destination. Where are you headed? Someone might ask you, where are you headed? You need to know where you're going. And you know, interestingly enough, as we look at life as that journey, some folks might be forced to answer the question when they say, where are you headed? They may have to answer, I don't know. They may have to answer nowhere in particular. Well, that's a bad way to answer that question, don't you think? When you're trying to figure out where are you going in life and you don't know, my friends, that is a sad commentary indeed. I believe the Apostle Paul had a destination in mind. In 1 Corinthians 15:19, Paul says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You see, the Apostle Paul had somewhere else in mind, and he was thinking beyond this life. This life is not my destination. I came here to this life, but I plan on going somewhere else. And so Paul says, if we have hope only here in this life, man, we ought to be miserable. But Paul had his mind on something else. He had his mind on a different destination. In fact, I believe Paul was also a penman of the Hebrew letter. And in chapter 13 and verse 14, he says, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. When you take this journey, there are several things you're going to need in light of your preparation. Now, I know that every one of us likely have had to journey at some point in time. We've had to take a trip. We've had to take a journey. And you know when you get ready to take a journey, you just need certain things in order for you to reach your destination. And in this particular journey in life, as we picture life as a journey, you need some things that's going to help you get to where you're trying to go. And the first thing I think is very popular today is that you are going to need a navigational system. That's very popular, isn't it? We have navigational systems on our phones, and some of us have them in our cars and things of that nature, but it's almost like we wouldn't know what to do without them now. We just plug in the address, where we're going, it shows us how long it's going to take for us to get there, how many miles, and all that kind of thing, and then it tells us the directions as we go, the streets come up, and all. Oh, a beautiful thing. Well, you know what? In life, if you're going to navigate through this life on your journey, you need a navigational system, and your navigational system in this life is called faith. Faith is how we're going to get to that destination. Faith is how we're going to get where we're going. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, Paul says, for we walk by faith and not by sight.
Faith has to navigate you to this destination, because where you are going, my friends, cannot be seen with the naked eye. Look at what Paul states in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And notice verse 16 through chapter 5, verse number 1. And just as we're talking about this, imagine people trying to get to heaven, trying to reach that destination, but they don't have a navigational system. They don't have faith. My friends, are they going to make it? They'll never get there. They'll be what the Bible describes as lost. 2 Corinthians 4 began in verse number 16. How does it read?
For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen.
Listen to what he says. While we look not at the things which are seen, but of the things that are not seen. How do you look at things that are not seen? You can't do that with the naked eye. The only way to see the things that are not seen is you got to see them through the eye of faith. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about. Keep reading.
For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal.
Do you realize that every man and woman that has ever navigated toward heaven, that one day will be in heaven, had to do so by faith? They had to do so by faith. I mean, when you look back in the Old Testament, you find out that these characters were navigating by faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. And notice verse number 27. And you will notice that Moses had a navigational system long ago. And he had to see through the eye of faith. How does it read?
By faith he forsook Egypt.
By what?
By faith.
By faith, the Bible says, he forsook Egypt. What?
Not fearing the wrath of the king.
Boy, he endured, the Bible says, as seeing him who is invisible. How did he see the one who was invisible? Did he see him with a naked eye? Or did he see him by the eyes of faith? Moses had a navigational system, but not only Moses had one, Abraham had one. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8.
Obeyed.
Yes, sir.
And he went out not knowing whether he went.
Now, how do you do that? You know how he did it? He did it because God was navigating for him. So the Bible describes it in the next verse. He did it by faith. Read.
By faith he sojourned.
Read.
In the land of promise.
Do you think he was concerned about the here and now as he was going through this journey, or was he looking for something beyond this life? I believe he was looking for another destination. Read the next verse. Verse number 10.
For he looked for a city. Which has foundation. Whose builder and maker is God.
Even those individuals in the Old Testament was navigating through this life by faith, if they were at all pleasing God, as they were journeying looking for a different destination. If you read 13 through 16, notice that, and notice that there was others who was doing the same thing. How does that read?
These all died in faith. Not having received the promise. But having seen them afar off.
How did they see them? Through the eyes of faith. Come on, read.
And were persuaded of them. And embraced them.
Yes, sir.
And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
Come on, read. They seek a country. These folks were on a journey. But their sojourning was not just simply here in this life. But if they had lacked that navigational system called faith, my friends, it would have ended here. But they were looking for something else. And they had that faith that allowed them to believe everything God told them, to believe the promises and things, and to look beyond their present circumstances to a different destination called heaven. Keep on reading, if you will.
From which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned.
Mercy, read.
But now they desire a better country.
A better country. Come on.
He is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God.
My friends, our hope is a new and eternal life with God in heaven. And Jesus was promising the disciples that in John 14. When Jesus told the disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions." Why would Jesus tell them that if there wasn't at some point a time when Jesus was going to invite them to that home? "There's many mansions, and I'm going," he said, "to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." How do they know? By faith. That's the only way for them to navigate through this life and their earthly sojourn to eventually make it to the shores of heaven. Later on, Jesus would say in John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto the Father but by me." My friends, if you don't have a navigational system as you are sojourning through this life on your journey to heaven, you'll never reach your destination. But there's some more preparation you need as you go through this life in this journey. What is the one thing that you have to do when you get ready to leave and you're going to take that 10, 12 hour trip? You got to fill up, right? Well, you need to fill up. If you don't fill up, you will not get very far in this journey. So there's some things that you need to fill up on before you take this journey in life. One is Ephesians 5:18. You need to fill up with the Spirit. One need to be filled with the Spirit. Not drunk with wine, the Bible says, where it is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. My friends, listen. In order to be filled with the Spirit, we're going to have to be filled with what the Spirit gave. The Spirit gave us the Word of God. He inspired men to give us the Word of God. That is the Spirit's Word. And so we have to, as the Spirit is represented by His Word, we have to fill up on the Word of God. You know how people talk about the Spirit indwelling them? Now, if the Spirit is indwelling us literally and you don't have the Word of God in you, my friends, that's kind of going to be a problem. You know, some people won't take the Word of God and won't imbibe the Word of God, but yet they want to have the Spirit. I don't know how they're going to do that when the Spirit gave the Word of God. And if we imbibe the Word of God and we follow His direction, then, my friends, then the Spirit abides in us and we are following the dictates of the Spirit. Well, my friends, listen, if you're going to fill up, it's going to be very difficult as you navigate through this life if you don't have the Word of God or the Word of the Spirit in you. It's going to be very difficult. You're going to have to fill up with the Spirit. But not only that, look at Ephesians 3:19. You're going to have to fill up with the fullness of God as you take this journey. How does it read?
"And to know the love of Christ,
uh-huh,
which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God."
All the fullness of God, all of the wonderful spiritual blessings and all that is summed up, all that God has summed up in Christ Jesus. You're going to need to fill up. You're going to need to have that fullness of God. My friends, this doesn't come by coming to church on a Sunday morning and that's it. It's going to take some time. And it's going to take some effort on your part. Not only do we imbibe all those spiritual blessings, but everything that God has promised in Christ, my friends. And we do it just as we keep growing and growing and growing. We continuously start to fill up with the fullness of God. All of those wonderful characteristics and attributes that He have and everything that He's promised us in Christ. My friends, that's going to take some effort on your part. If you're going to journey through this life, don't you think you're going to need to be full with God's fullness? Absolutely. So if we're going to journey in this life, let's fill up with the Spirit by filling up with His Word. Let's fill up with the fullness of God and all that He has promised us in Christ Jesus. But not only that, my friends, let's fill up with knowledge. Need to fill up with knowledge. Look at Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4. I don't know how you're going to get very far if you don't fill up the tank. Got to fill up if you're going to take this journey. Come on, read if you will.
"And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brother, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge."
Filled with all knowledge. Now, this is not knowledge in the absolute sense. See, he says filled with all knowledge, but it's really the idea of a full understanding of the whole scope of Christianity. The gospel, the doctrine. And so having the knowledge of the will of God, if you will. And so Paul says, "I'm convinced that you are going to be full of this knowledge." Come on, read.
"Able also to admonish one another."
All right. Now, once you are filled with this knowledge, you're going to be able to instruct yourself and instruct others along the way. You know, it's interesting that he says this, because as we think about taking this life as a journey, picturing as a journey, along the journey you will encounter people who will either tell you they're lost or you will recognize they're lost by the way they're acting. You ever seen somebody that's lost? And you can tell when they just kind of don't know where they're going. They're looking around, stuff like that. And then people will come and say, hey, can I help you? Do you know where you're going? And if you've ever been lost, it's good to go. And sometimes we're in a department store or something like that. You're trying to find a certain section of the store. And then someone say, hey, may I help you? Like, do you know where this is and that is? And they say, yes, go right down there and just to your left, just past the men's. You see the men's sign, and then you go exactly where, you know exactly where you're going, and you can get to your destination. Well, in life, we will encounter people who don't know where they're going. And it's going to be good and beneficial for them if we have a full knowledge or scope of the knowledge of Christ, of the gospel of Christ, of his doctrine, so that we can be able to tell those people who ask us for directions exactly how to get where they're going. You see, in order for me to do that, I'm going to have to fill up with the knowledge of Christ. Not only that, sometimes people will just tell you they're lost. They'll ask you for directions. And wouldn't it be a shame for someone to ask us for directions along their journey, trying to get to where they're going, admitting that they're lost, and we don't know what to tell them? So Paul said, I'm assured that you will be able, through this knowledge of Christ, to be able to help and assist others. Even to the point of even warning others, Paul said, you should be able to do that. Well, we need to fill up with it. Not only that, as you get ready to take this journey through life, you need to fill up with joy. In Romans 15, notice verse number 13.
Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing.
Now the God of what?
Hope.
Hope will fill you with all what?
Joy.
Joy.
And peace.
Uh-huh. As you are navigating through life, how many of you are filled with joy? I would ask for a show of hands, but I don't want to see too many hands stay down. I don't want to see that. But you need to ask yourself, are you filled with joy? You see, you need it on the journey. You need to be filled with joy. And it's God who enables us to be filled with joy as we are going on this journey throughout this life. The reason you need to be filled with joy is because the journey can be difficult. Now, haven't you and I found that to be the case? Anyone seen a little trouble? Anyone seen some difficult days? Then you know that this life can be very difficult and very unpredictable. So as you're journeying through this life, you need to be careful because you can have some serious difficulties on this trip. You ever dreaded having to take that car trip, that long car trip? That car trip that seems like it's going to take forever to get there. And you know it's coming up. You can't avoid it. Maybe you have to drive from here. I've driven from Illinois to here. Brother Maxwell thought I was crazy. Boy, that drove wow. And I went to Georgia on my way and picked up my mother and brought her up the first time I came for a gospel meeting. It was only like 24 hours, I think, total. But you know what? I enjoyed the trip. I looked forward to the trip. I had joy in that trip. But I know what it's like to take that trip, and you just don't want to take that trip because you know it's going to be a long, hard, boring trip. Now, if you think about life sometimes, life can be very difficult, very unpredictable, and sometimes it can seem like that long, drawn-out, hard trip. And you know the one when you get in the car and you can't get comfortable? Cramped up? You ever been cramped up in a car? And you know you're going to be in that car for a good 14 hours and your back hurt? I've seen sisters and women take pillows and blankets and everything, try to be comfortable in the car because they know they're not going to do any driving. They're going to get on that passenger seat. And they're going to sit there and put their little pillow up against the window. But I've also seen my wife go through all kinds of changes trying to get comfortable in that seat while I drive the 14, 15, 16 hours. Knees ache, back hurt, can't get comfortable, can't hardly sleep. Then you got to stop along the way and get out and stretch. takes a long time, some time to get the blood circulating again. You know those kind of trips. But you know this is exactly how it is in life sometimes. And so you can either complain about the trip, complain and dread the trip as you get ready to take it. You can complain all the way through the trip just like the little children. Are we there yet? Or you can appreciate the trip, understand the trip, and get the most out of the journey. You can fill yourself with joy, and you can bring yourself some comfort even in a difficult trip. You need to fill up with joy if you're going to take this journey through life. But while you're on this journey, something else you'll need. You'll need to stay alert. As you're traveling, it can be dangerous out there. And most of the time, we've always said, and I know as you get older, you understand this even better. It's good to do daylight driving, isn't it? Try to drive while it is day and stay away from the night driving. Why? Because things can run out into the road. There can always be some dangers out there. And it's interesting that Peter was talking to his audience, and he was writing to those Christians. And in 1 Peter 5:8, he says to those Christians, you need to be sober. Be vigilant, because you have an adversary, the devil, who's walking about as a roaring lion, and he's seeking whom he may devour. It can be a very dangerous trip. But not only that, he says you need to watch out for anything that might take you out along your journey. So in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, he said, dearly beloved, I beseech ye, as strangers and pilgrims, as you're traveling through, he says, abstain from all fleshly lusts which war against the soul. My friends, that means when you and I get out there and we're going to navigate through this life, we need to make sure that we are rested, and we need to make sure that we are alert and prepared for the journey, because there are things in the way that could hinder us from reaching our destination if we're not careful. Another thing you need to learn about this journey: it always begins and ends the same way. It ends with birth. Job 14:1, Job said, man that is born of woman, he says, few days and full of trouble. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 3:2, there's a time to be born. But it always ends the same way as well, death. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27. And also Ecclesiastes 8:8, the Bible says, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. My friends, the Bible says it's been appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. On this journey, it ends, it begins and ends the exact same way. Yet there are many paths from the cradle to the grave. We start with nothing, and the Bible says we're going to end with nothing on this journey. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:7, he says, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. How we take this journey is certainly left up to us. Moses calls the children of Israel to question, and Deuteronomy 13:9, he says, and I call heaven and earth to record against you this day that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. He said, therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. While we're on this journey, my friends, we need to take the high road. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 17, you take the high road because the one who you call is your father. My friends, we need to be holy. 1 Peter 1:14 and 15 and verse number 17, since we call him our father, we need to be holy as he is holy. And we can only take this journey one time. You know, David realized that when his child died, did he not? In 2 Samuel chapter 12, 23, David wanted so desperately for his child to live. But once the child died, David recognized that his child could not come back to him, but he says he could go to him. So David recognized that you only get to pass through here one time. And after that, the Bible declares that we will go and see God and be judged by him. My friends, how do you picture life? Well, James says it's like a mist. Just appears for a little time, and then he says it vanishes away. So if I understood that picture of life, I'd understand life is fleeting, life is quick. Life is fast, life is here, life is gone. if I had that image in my mind about life, I would recognize that I don't have much time. I'd recognize that time is of the essence. I'd recognize that I need to make the most of my opportunities. I'd recognize that I don't need to squander my opportunities. I'd recognize that I need to obey God. I'd recognize I need to get busy living for Him. If I understood life in that sense and that imagery. Life is a gift. My friends, I didn't earn that gift. God gave me that gift. And as we talked about this morning, how would you like to take a gift, give someone a gift, and they take it and throw it in the trash? And that's what some people do with their lives. God gave you the wonderful gift of life, and they take it, and they think nothing more of it than to throw it away. Wow. And yet God offers them another gift while in this life, the gift of eternal life through His Son, through obedience unto the gospel. And life, my friends, is a journey. You and I are on a journey. And I believe if people understood they were on a journey and saw life through that image, they would understand then the need to have a destination. What is your destination? Where are you going? Where are you headed? How are you going to get there? Those are questions that people need to ask based on this journey. If a person does not recognize that he's on a journey going somewhere, my friends, that person might go nowhere and ultimately end up in a place where he don't want to be. Well, life is a journey, and we're all on a journey. What's your destination? I believe every one of our destination is heaven. But if there's someone present who does not have a destination, who doesn't recognize this journey, my friends, we'll help you to appreciate how to get started on your journey. You get started on this journey, this spiritual journey that leads you to heaven, where you navigate through faith, is by understanding who Jesus is, by believing in Him and accepting Him as your Savior, by being willing to repent of your sins and confess His name before witnesses, and being willing to be immersed in water to identify with His death, burial, and resurrection. If you do that, my friends, then you're on your way to seeing through the eye of faith, navigating through this life, through this journey. Be faithful unto death until you reach your destination, and heaven will be your home. Need to respond to this invitation. My friend, begin your journey today as we stand and as we sing the invitation song.